Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And this is what it says. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Okay, well, just before we sing our final carol and have mince pies together, I just want to draw to your attention three things about who God is, what God is like, and how that affects you. And the first thing I'd like to draw to your attention is that God is amazingly powerful. In fact, he is all-powerful and knows all things. Have you ever thought what an amazing thing it was that God ordained, he planned in advance and revealed it through this prophet called Micah, that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem? And that in order to fulfill that promise and make sure that the living God who never breaks a promise kept to his word, he actually arranged for this little emperor who ruled half the world, Caesar Augustus, to arrange a census so that everyone would go to their hometown to be enrolled and registered. You see, God is all-powerful. He directs the hearts of kings and whoever he chooses in whichever direction he chooses. He's in complete sovereign control of what goes on in this world. He not only knows the future, he controls the future. His knowledge and power are not just awesome, they're not just amazing, they are unfathomable. As we sit here or stand here this evening, we cannot trace out the mighty power of God. We can't even take it in. It is so vast. He is in perfect, complete control of all of his creation that he brought into being just by his mighty, powerful word. Through what we might consider a very wide lens, God is in control of all human affairs. We read that God makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away. But also, if we zoom in on your individual lives, my life and your life, then we find the Lord is in complete and sovereign control there as well. You see, God planned all your days before you were born. Every last one of them. For David says in the Bible that in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. All of your actions are under God's providential care. For in him we live and move and have our being. The individual steps that you take each and every day are ordered by the Lord. So I don't know whether this Christmas you are feeling small and insignificant and beleaguered in this world full of billions of people, where the news is always of vast political and economic and social movements that seem so out of your sphere of activity that you can end up feeling fairly small and insignificant. And yet, if you do feel small and unnoticed and insignificant in the world, don't be disheartened or unhappy any longer, because it is clear from what we read here that God, who controls the mammoth political forces and all the giant industrial complexes of our age, without their even knowing it, he's guiding them. And not for their sake, but for the sake of his glory and for the sake of us little people. For the sake of us little people. God cares for you. He knows you by name. The hairs on your head this Christmas are numbered by the creator of this universe. God wields empires in order to bless his children. So don't think that perhaps because 2013 has been a difficult year for you, perhaps it's brought grief, perhaps it's brought you trials and tribulations. Don't allow yourself to think that you are unnoticed by God. God notices you right now as you are seated in this room. And he's intervened mightily in this world, moving nations, moving Mary and Joseph into Bethlehem, so that as he ordained, his son might enter this world just as he said he would. Come into this world for what purpose? To save you. To save you and me. To save his children. That is the level of the care that God has for you. So God is mighty, but he is interested in you. And notice secondly that God is holy. And when he comes near, sinners begin to fear. If we read on, it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Now, I wonder if any of you have ever met anyone who fills you with great fear. Children, maybe there's a teacher that you have in school, I know it's not me, who fills you with great fear. I remember Mr. Andrews, my primary school head teacher, he terrified me. If you put a foot out of line, if you said the wrong thing, if you messed about in the corridors, then you'd know about it if he found out. His presence, just walking up the corridor, would still the wildest of children. And everybody would just quake as he passed by. And even if you were having fun winding up Mrs. McWilliams in the music room, you'd soon fall silent if Mr. Andrews walked in on you, and your head would drop because you'd feel ashamed of what you'd been up to. Well, I've got to tell you that Mr. Andrews and the effect that he used to have on me, and whoever you've got in mind as the person who fills you with fear, is nothing compared to what it feels like when the presence of God draws near to you. There's these shepherds watching their flocks, and the angel appears, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord God. Now, what is the glory of God? Well, it's the manifestation, the revealing of his holiness, his being, who he is. And when God's holiness draws near to you, you feel your unworthiness. And that's what happens here. God's glory means God's holiness gone public. And when the shepherds are brought face to face with the glory of God, they tremble. They shudder in their boots. Now, our view of God is very limited, and we're a bit like people who perhaps go for, I used to love night hiking when I was in the Scouts. Don't tell anybody at school that I said that, but I remember going night hiking, and we'd have this bright lantern that we carry around with us, and perhaps we might have seen the glory of the heavens above if we'd actually turned our lanterns off. But as it happened, this artificial light would actually blot out the glory of the Milky Way above us. We couldn't see it. It was hidden. It was eclipsed from our view. And for lots of people, that is what they are like with God. Are you someone who has eclipsed God in your life? Is there something in your life that this Christmas is the focus of all your attention, the thing that draws you to live for that thing? Perhaps a person, perhaps family, perhaps all these things which are good gifts from God, but were never meant to eclipse the glorious Creator who made you, who formed you, who gave you life and breath, and who sustains you even now as your heart beats in this room. Is there something blocking God out from your life? Is there something that's replaced him? You know, well, that was possibly what the shepherds were like, but as soon as God drew near to them, then the eclipse was rolled back, and they saw that which was hidden, the glory of God drawing near to them. And It was a revelation. And there are people in this room right now who have had a revelation of a similar kind, where God's Holy Spirit was sent to them. And they felt their unworthiness, just like those shepherds did. And they knew their sinfulness. And then they knew it in the presence of God that they needed forgiveness. Has that happened to you yet? Have you felt the presence of God prompting your heart to respond to him in faith, asking for forgiveness? You know, sometimes we're a bit like that child who on one Christmas morning was transported from their home to another family member, and on the way to that family member's home, they passed some sheep in the field, and they looked out in this muddy old field, and there were these sheep, and they thought, "Oh, Mummy, look at that white sheep, isn't it beautiful?" And then on the way back, after it had snowed, they looked out the other window in their car, and there was the same sheep, and the child said, "Oh, Mum, what a dirty, grubby little sheep." You know, if we are comparing ourselves with that which is already dirty in this world, then we can think we're doing okay. But when God draws near to you, my dear friends, and it's happened to many people in this room, we feel our own uncleanness. And we need to. That's the love of God at work, showing us our need of forgiveness. Joan Collins once said, "I have never done anything bad to anyone, never. And that is one of the things I'm most proud of. I've never hurt anybody. I've never been vicious about anybody. I've never taken drugs, never tricked anyone. On the contrary, I can say that many, many people have done it to me. Men, husbands, business associates, lawyers, the list is endless. I basically think that when one meets one's maker, if I do, there won't be anything I've done that I need to be ashamed of. Nothing." Those are the words of a woman who, up until that point in her life, had clearly never experienced the presence of God. She could never have said that if she knew the presence of God. She'd been with those shepherds like every one of us who are without Christ. She would have trembled with fear, and rightly so. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we deserve his judgment. And yet, that leads us to the third and most wonderful part of this passage. That God, although he knows everything and is all-powerful, creating this universe, even though he is almighty and holy, so that we can barely stand in his presence, nonetheless, God is loving and he is merciful. He sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world that very first Christmas to save sinners like you and me. Listen to what happened next. "The angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, I remember, once again, going back to my childhood, time when my mother, who was a cleaner, and she took me along to this massive mansion that she cleaned in a very posh part of Kent. And I remember playing football up against this garage door, and the owner of this garage, which had windows, it was that posh, basically came out and said, "Don't do that." So I stopped for a little while, and then I thought, well, I'm good enough to carry on. I won't hit the windows. So I carried on, little child that I was, and you guessed it, hoofed it through the window, splash, all this glass all over the Rolls Royce, right, that was parked behind it. Well, I ran. I ran for all my life was worth, blubbing as I went, climbed the nearest tree, terrified of what was going to happen. And I didn't come down for a long, long time. And they were calling for me. Eventually, I crept round to the front. And there they were, my mother and this rich millionaire whose Rolls Royce had been scratched by my ball, or by the glass that I kicked through. And I remember he must have looked at this pitiful little child. And he smiled at me. And he said, "Don't worry, I forgive you. Well, the relief I felt on that day was breathtaking. As he turned around and walked off, I thought he was going to hit me with a stick, but he just walked away and I was forgiven. Well, once again, that is nothing, I guess, compared to what these shepherds felt when they heard the angels speak those first two words, fear not, fear not. Why weren't they to be afraid? They were sinners like all the rest of us. Because there was a message of great joy coming their way. God was keeping yet another promise, hundreds and hundreds of years of waiting, and he had decided that that day he was going to have his son, the promised king, the savior of the world, come into this world for the first time, born in a lowly manger. You know, Almighty God, he could have arranged for that inn to have a few spaces. They could have gone in there, but no. He deliberately arranged for his son to be laid in a feeding trough for animals so that you might know this evening that he was the savior and he is the savior for everyone, high and low alike. He is coming to the world as God promised to save you from your sins. And it is truth. Now, I'd like to challenge you this evening, because there's a somber note in what the angels say, isn't there? They say, peace among men with whom he is pleased, or upon whom his favor rests. This peace that God was bringing into the world, that would bring peace between God, sin, and sinful people like us, wasn't for everyone. Jesus might have come to save the world from their sin. There'll be people from every nation on earth. And there are people in the room now from Korea, from Poland, from Wales, from Scotland, from lots of different nations who have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He came to save people from all over the world, but not everyone is going to be saved. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. It couldn't be clearer. And so the challenge is this. Have you come humbly to this King of Kings? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Well, if you haven't, whatever it is that is eclipsing the Lord Jesus Christ's glory in your life, then draw it back and put it away. Whatever doubts will hold you back, leave them behind. Don't dwell upon them any further. Come with all your baggage, with all your sin, and confess it to him. And you know what? You will know the presence of God in a way like those shepherds did when their fear of judgment was turned to joy at the everlasting life that God was pouring into their lives as they came to know the Son of the living God. You can know that. If it's pride that is holding you back, then I beg you this evening, humble yourselves before the throne of Christ. Speak to him in prayer, even now in your hearts. Ask him to come in, and you will know what Christmas is really about. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, born as a child, who would one day live the perfect life and then one day lay down his life out of love for you upon the cross to take the punishment that you deserve in your place. That is the love that God has for you this evening. Why would you turn it away? Come to him now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Well, we're reminded then that God is all-powerful, he is holy, he is pure, and yet he is loving towards us. And that brings great joy. To those of us who come to him, those of us who know him by faith, it brings great joy.